Speak it out and sing it loud.
Speak it out and sing it loud.
Let's get started. Welcome everyone to Speak It Out, Sing It Loud here on Adelante Spy. Today I'm very excited to bring you once again a friend of old. She was a former freestyle recording artist and has gone on to do such great things to help others, to inspire others and the community. So without further ado, let's bring her on. And here she is, my friend, Jessica Fabus Cheng.
Yes.
Welcome to Speak It Out, Sing It Loud. I'm excited to have you on.
I'm excited to be here.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm actually very excited to be here. So thank you for having me.
You look wonderful. For those of you who don't know, Jessica and I have become friends like maybe 25 years ago or something of that nature?
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like it's been forever.
Yeah.
You know, when somebody is friends with one another and it's a truth and authentic and we go through changes in our lives, I want to inspire you people out there. True friends, they just take off where they left off. How's that? Right. And then now start sharing, seguir adelante, go forward, their journey and their story, because I'm extremely happy for Jessica and her journey. And today she's going to share about this journey. And I know that it's going to inspire you. But I want to let you know before I have her speak that she too was a freestyle music artist like myself. That's right. She had a song called Obviously On My Own. And I believe. Mm-hmm. I'm going to let her talk to you first about that part of her life. Jessica, how did you start with freestyle and who did you start recording with?
Well, I actually started recording with my dad, way back, and he's not in the freestyle world at all. He's a musician. He's more of like a rocker. He was in bands and things like that in the 70s and 80s. And so he had that background. And I remember telling him when I was young, like, I love this music. It's called freestyle. And he's like, yeah, let me hear it. And he's like, are these real drums? And I'm like, you're missing the point. Like, he didn't immediately understand, I guess, my affinity to that. But it, as we'll talk about, a lot of things in my life, I felt a pull towards, like an authentic, like, pull. So when I actually heard freestyle for the first time, it was on a mixtape. And I asked my friend, Melissa, I was like, hey, can I borrow like a house music tape? And this is when I was like 13 or 14 years old. And she gave me a tape, you know, this is like going back in the day. And it was actually a freestyle tape. And I was like, what is this music? This is so slow. And I wanted like a house music thing because I'm from Chicago originally. So I grew up around a lot of, you know, house music and all of that. So I was expecting a faster BPM type of thing. But then as I listened to it, I was like, wow, there's something about this style of music that I really, really like. And it was the blend of the artist and the music. And I didn't really know who the artists were because it was just a mixtape. So I just heard the sound. So I didn't know anything really about it being from Chicago. And, you know, a lot of people ask, well, you know, how old were you like back then? And the thing was that in Chicago in the 90s, freestyle and house music was really popular among the youth. And that's how I got into it. It wasn't because, you know, I was like an artist in the 80s because I wasn't, and I wasn't even from New York. But that's what pulled me out to New York. And that's eventually why I came out to New York and why I guess I'm still here. That was the origin of that. So it was just something I always wanted to do. I just felt called towards, and I moved to New York to pursue that. Even though it wasn't in the heyday of freestyle, it was just something about it. And the rest is history.
Yeah. And we, you and I are from two different generations because I am obviously from the beginning of the 80s heyday of freestyle. And it's amazing that later on, younger women or people like yourself actually were drawn to something that we did in the 80s, which is awesome. I want to tell you all, she's just a wonderful singer and absolutely beautiful. And I was glad that she was even part of that genre of music. Now, I was always checking you out on Facebook because I do that not to be nosy, because I like to see how people are doing. How's that?
Well, that's
for. Isn't it? And it's so simple. And I was extremely happy when I saw that you were very much into the martial arts. Please tell me, how did you get into that?
So I actually started martial arts by accident. I always say I started it by accident because this wasn't even in my consciousness. And I believe, you know, as a person of faith, sometimes things happen in your life that some things you may expect, you can kind of see coming, others you don't see at all. And that's the beauty of the Lord is, you know, you never know. He'll put you on a journey sometimes that you never knew you needed. And so it's funny because I actually, it was, I competed in pageantry, and we'll talk about that later on too, but this was basically one of the first pageants I ever competed in, and it was in Chicago, and I was in the hotel room, and I was staying by myself, and at literally 4 o'clock in the morning, I woke up, and I had this feeling like there's something off, like there's something wrong, very wrong. And I sat up in bed and I looked over to my right and the door to my room was wide open. Mm. And I mustered every ounce of strength that I had to get out of bed and just see, either get out of the room or see what was going on. And I heard like people yelling outside and I was like, what is going on? Luckily it was that a late arriving business traveler was given the key to my room by mistake.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny too, because this is the only time I always put the chain on the door. I mean, I grew up in Chicago. It wasn't New York, but it's a city. You know, you kind of get that ingrained in you. Like you need to be aware of things. The one time I didn't put the chain on my door, this happened. So I'd say it's by accident or maybe serendipitous. I don't know. Luckily, the person, the business traveler guy, was very upset about it, probably even more upset about it than me. Mm-hmm. He had meant no harm. He just arrived at 3 a.m. for whatever reason, and the hotel made a mistake. So that left an impression on me because I thought, you know, if he had bad intentions, yes, I know I would have fought. I would have, you know, given it my all, but I didn't know if I had the mental capacity to stay in a calm sense or like a calm zone, like be able to know what to do next and have control over my emotions, basically. So I thought to myself, you know, when I get home, I'm going to check out like a self-defense course or something like this. And when I got home to New York, I was at the time living in Queens in Astoria. And I remember one day I got off the train and I saw this little sign in a window and it said, self-defense trial class, $10. I'm like, oh, okay, let me just check this out. And this is the by accident part. So I went in and it turns out that it was a traditional martial arts school, a Taekwondo school. And I'm like, I never considered martial arts as a form of self-defense. And I just remember standing in the studio and I had this sense like, if I start this journey, I have to get my black belt because I don't want to be, you know, like 3 months in, it's like, oh, it's too hard. So I just quit. You know, I was like, I have to get a black belt if I do this. And I remember, you know, 3 months in, we were, you know, given this exercise of being in like a push-up plank position for like, felt like 10 minutes or something. And I was like sweat pouring off my body. And I'm like, what have I done? Like, why is this month number 3? And this is crazy. But long story short, I stuck it out. And I've got my black belt and started competing. And it just kind of took off from there. And people encouraged me to compete. And in 2017, I was named to the national team for a competition that was in Las Vegas. And that was like a dream come true. It's kind of like a dream come true I never knew I had. but you never know. You never know what situation can be flipped around to be something good and positive.
That is incredible. You know, little old me was bored in when I first moved here to Florida, and I wanted to take one of those self-defense classes, which I never made it. And I'm upset now that I hear your story, because I was a lot physically better, better condition probably to have been able to take it, as I am not now. But that is something I've always admired, but never had the courage to do. And I am so glad that you actually paid attention to that pull in you that was, you know, which with me is the Holy Spirit that was just pulling you towards a new destiny, you know, and to accomplish something. And thank you for your mindset that you said, well, no, I'm not going to stop here. If I'm going to do this, I'm going to go all the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, why not? Right. When something is that good and that positive. Absolutely. Yeah. And by the way, I lived in Chi-Town for about 3 years. So I, you know, when I was doing music in the 90s, so I love the people of Chicago. So I'm glad that you shared that as well. Yeah. Wow. That is so great. Now, I want to talk about, as you see everyone behind her, it says, right, Mrs. I can't read it for here. Mrs. New York?
Mrs. New York International.
Mm-hmm. International. Please speak to us about this.
Yes. Yeah, so pageantry for me has been also one of those things that I've always felt very drawn to. And when I was a young girl, I would say around like 11 or 12, I went to a friend's house and she had all these like crowns and trophies and stuff in her house. And I remember looking at that. I'm like, these look like athletic trophies, but instead of like, you know, an athlete or a basketball player or something on top, it was a woman in a gown and a sash. And it was, you know, it's like made of metal or something like that. But I was really like, wow, what is this? And I had the sense that this, you know, my friend, also Melissa, she really worked hard for these things. And I was really drawn to it. And I remember going home and saying to my mom, like, I know what I want to do. I want to do a pageant. And she was like, absolutely not. No way. Like, this is not the right path for you. No, you know, it's just, and I was drawn, I think, you know, yes, there's the awards and things like that, but sometimes you just can't explain why you're pulled towards something. And I kept asking her and begging her. And that's when I realized that I had kind of a, you know, a fiery spirit. Like, if I want to do something that I feel very passionately and strong about, I will follow that. And of course, being a child, you know, that comes out maybe not in the best way sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know? And I just kept asking and begging for it. And my mom finally said, listen, if you want to do this, you raise your own money and do the pageant yourself. And I took that as a yes. So, and she thought, oh, she's not going to do it. I ended up raising my own money for like a year of babysitting. And I remember getting like a $20 bill every time I would babysit. And I put it in this envelope in my desk. And over the weeks, the envelope got bigger and fatter, and people started to come out of the woodwork to help me. There was a photographer that, it's funny because my mom knew this photographer, and he had offered to like do some headshots for me. Actually, I have my first original headshot. I keep it here because it's a reminder, you know, of the origin of why you started something. And that little girl, you know, to be where I am now, I think would just be in awe of that. But, you know, it's with the understanding that it's hard work to get there. It's not just something that was given. So I feel very blessed, actually, that things don't just like drop into my lap and, oh, you know, you get to have this now. And here it is on a silver platter. It's like, no, if you really want this, let's work for it. And let's impact people in the process. And that's what I'm realizing now, especially as an adult woman in pageantry, the impact that you can have on others just by sharing your message, sharing your story, which we'll talk about. And it's just a positive thing.
That is so wonderful because, I mean, as a young girl, I watched the pageants and all that. But I think we many of us viewing don't know what goes behind it. all the work, but all the passion that I know we say beauty, which is the pageant now, but let's say beauty pageant. Right. And we've always looked as young girls, I'm talking about myself and probably a lot of other handful of people. Mm-hmm. We've seen it as beauty, as the outside. Right. And we would hear the same little slogans and catchphrases. But I believe that obviously through the years, this has evolved to understanding empowering women and just being a little more deeper and seeing the woman behind it than just the fluff in which it started out many years to be. Mm-hmm. Would you agree with me on that?
Absolutely. I mean, it was popularized as a bathing beauty competition. Like Miss America started in the 30s or the 20s on a boardwalk somewhere, and it was women parading around in bathing suits. And I always say, leave it to a woman to take something that is a surface thing and make it this incredible, rich, complex way of empowering other people. And I think that's where we are now. And that's why I really love the pageant system that I'm in, which is the international pageant system, because they really focus on platform and community involvement. And it's beyond just the outward appearance. I mean, I think there is an element of that. You know, I like to wear gowns and things like that, yeah. But that's not who I am at my core. That's the outside. But internally, who I am is someone that is there to impact people and empower people. And that's what I love about that system is that it's very much focused on those things.
Tell me about some of your community involvements that you just remember and are really proud of being involved in from the beginning.
Yeah, well, you know, my deep journey in pageantry began when I decided to share something about myself that for years I had never told anyone publicly. And that is that I'm a carrier for a genetic disorder. It's called Duchenne muscular dystrophy. And Duchenne is the most common form of muscular dystrophy in children, yet it's still considered a rare disease and not many people know about what it is. And it's a fatal disorder. The life expectancy has increased, but it's only around 16 to 26. Now I'd say around 30 years old. It affects when you say you're a carrier, I don't have the full-blown disorder myself, but I can pass it on to a child. I have a 50% chance of doing that. And it mainly affects males or male children. And, you know, for many years, I kept that inside because I thought, because I too waited. I didn't wait till the age of 49 to get married, but I did wait until my mid-30s to get married. So I too have a similar journey in that sense that it just didn't happen right away. And partly I felt a lot of shame, like who would want to marry me with, you know, how do you start that conversation with someone? How do you sit down and, you know, definitely not in the first date, but, you know, we may never have children or it wouldn't be a natural way. It would have to be through IVF or something, or it just won't happen at all because of this risk, which I'm not willing to take. So I just felt, you know, kind of lonely in that sense. So the point of this is that I decided one day to just share it, and I never knew. And again, here we go again. You know, you never know the impact until you just share. When you recognize that you have a story to share, you embrace that about yourself, and then you share that out in the world. And yes, maybe some people might not agree with it or whatever, but I can't tell you the number of people that I ended up connecting with because I simply shared that part of myself. And as human beings, and this is the much broader picture of my platform, The Power of Your Story, we all have a story. And not only that, we have multiple stories. We can talk about, you know, Arlene, the freestyle artist, but you have other things that you do. You have other interests, other, you know, passions. You're multifaceted. You know, you have the show, you know, that's not necessarily fully freestyle, but you have, you know, gifts and talents, and, you know, there's so much that we can share to bless the world just by our own story, just by our own story.
Absolutely. I don't know if you, no, I don't think you knew this. You didn't, but I actually in New York while I was there, probably can't remember the year, before I moved to Florida the first time, and then I went to New York to visit, I produced and I directed, which a lot of other people don't know, mm-hmm. a play about my life and my music. And it was also very difficult for me because I was letting people into some things, some yes. dark places, some areas of my life. I was revealing that in order to bless other people and to have other people understand that whatever their story is, that there is hope, that God is, that God is there, that there's restoration, that there's just help, you know. And faith is what takes a huge place in my life with everything I go through, even to the present. When I read that you shared about the genetic disposition, about the health condition, I have more than one. Mm-hmm. And I was diagnosed in 2000, I think it was 7, with LCIS, which a lot of women don't know, which is lobular carcinoma in situ, which means that I have not unhealthy cells in the breast, mm-hmm. and bilateral. I had to have a biopsy to find that out because the mammogram does not give you any indication. So there's many women walking around with this disease that they don't know about it. So I wanted to let people know again, and on this video, that you have to be proactive. Also, so in my case, I ended up with a great doctor in my 30s, which said, I don't like this fogginess, this calcifications, this inconsistency in your x-rays, where I cannot see beyond and I need to see it all, you know, the full spectrum of what's going on in your cells. Yeah. So I had to have a literal cut, a biopsy, and test tissue at which they found this disease. When I found out about it, I was completely by myself in the surgeon's office. I thought death. I am a talker. I couldn't even speak. I it was like a Charlie Brown experience. I'm hearing the man. It was just so difficult. Mm-hmm. So with me, it puts me at 50% risk, mm-hmm. but because I am proactive and God is good. Yes. And because I definitely changed my whole lifestyle of eating a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And I go to not only my mammograms, which is not the one that's going to show anything really that has to do with this condition, ultrasound, but I do MRIs. As I get older, I have to do, you know, a little bit more of them. I only did one a year or one every so years. So we want to encourage you out there that if you are diagnosed with any type of a disease or you have a marker, just know that, again, there's hope. Inform yourself better with the right organizations in order to help you, to inspire you to be more aware of what you can do to help yourself, to help others, to find hope, to live a healthy life and not feel like the disease is going to kill you. How's that? Because that's how I felt. That's how I felt.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think just by you saying and sharing that story, now you've created awareness. Just, you know, it may not be to, you know, 6,000 people yet, but you've already started by just speaking of it. People are now aware. It's in their consciousness. Women know that now. I know that there are other possibilities for your breast health and to be an advocate for yourself. I mean, I don't know if you know this, but this year I was diagnosed with thyroid cancer. Mm. And I had, the prognosis is good, but it does require follow-up. You know, I had two surgeries, I had radioactive treatment, and the key is not so much like the story is that I had this thing happen to me, but the same that you're saying is if you feel something, if you sense something, you have to go out and at least get it checked out. It is scary. It is scary. But when you're proactive, the prognosis is much better and you can take control of your health and, you know, move forward, like,
adelante. Seguir adelante. That's what it is. Yes. Adelante. Go forward. That's what my whole show is about. You know, I was also diagnosed. We're over here talking about everything so you could see, the people could hear. I was diagnosed, I'm going to always pronounce this wrong, trigeminal neuralgia. I started getting in 2019 this pain on one side of my face. And it was so intense that you have to go through the process of going to the dentist and checking it had to do with root canals. Mm-hmm. But it felt like, no exaggeration, like 10 root canals. It was just so bad. So I went through the process of all the things you must go, process of elimination, tests, doctor, specialist. And the neurologist sent me to an MRI of my brain. Very scary. It was very scary.
Yeah.
And they found a small benign tumor on the left side of my brain. So I checked it out again this year and thank the Lord. It's very small, still benign. And we're going to claim that it's going to continue to be benign. And I just want to let people know that, yeah, the journey is, it is scary. And I can tell you that for me, sometimes I'm, oh, you would think I don't have faith, you know, because I worry too much. Because I've been through a real process of a lot of MRIs, and I'm about to go through yet another set for other issues that pop out of just nowhere in me. And now they want to check some spots on my lesions on my lumbar spine. So with all these things said, we want to encourage you to know that our faith in God, holds a big, big part in where we're at today and how we're able to share with you that through it all, through the ups and downs, through the health issues, through the hard times, God has been with us and he continues to be with us and he'll be there for you. So stay encouraged and also allow that whatever opportunity you have, not to be so much of a complaining when you share with somebody, but to share with somebody in hopes that you encourage them that they can have strength and that they can gain the wisdom that they need so they can make it through and make better life choices, whether it's changing your diet, whether it's exercising, whatever it is. I think for many people, Jessica, as well as myself, at the beginning, when I found out about the breast disease, mm-hmm. I thought I had a life sentence. I was just so sure that that was it. I was going to get this and that was going to happen to me. And I had some doctors, I'm going to be honest, say things with their mouth, speak things that were inappropriate to say. Mm-hmm. And when you're in the faith, you understand that no doctor, when he's giving you a diagnosis and you're not hearing it and you're by yourself, should be telling you already about removing your breasts. Mm-hmm. No, yes. Surgeon should be saying that. No other doctor later on in my life, in my 40s, should be saying it's just a matter of time. That's pretty evil and pretty negative. Yes. And if you find any doctor that speaks to you that way, I would suggest change your doctor. Because it's not about being ignorant or in denial. Absolutely not. But any good doctor is going to give you good suggestions and not ever speak things that he has literally no real, in some cases, you know, a 50% chance is a 50% chance. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean it ever has to be.
Right.
No one should ever say it's a matter of time. Mm-hmm. No. If there's never been any indication in your body scientifically to say such a statement, then that statement should never be said.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't for my faith in the Lord, I wouldn't have taken that and actually looked at it for what it was that was not good, that was pretty much evil in my opinion, mm-hmm. and say to myself, wait, that is not a statement that anyone should make.
Yeah. And that you bring up a good point, because that right there shows you how powerful words are. And we should very much think before we speak, even if you're a doctor or anyone else, because you can affect someone very personally, very deeply. Imagine, like you said, you did not have faith. That could have put you in a depression. Who knows what else, you know? So it's very important, the words that we say, how we say them, and always reflecting on how we are perceived in the world. I mean, you can't always know that, but if you know that you're coming from a place of love, just a place of love and compassion, you know, usually you'll be in the right zone, you know. But when you say things like that, you know, if you're right, 50% chance is a 50% chance. It could go the other way in a positive way.
Exactly. So what is our job to do? Whether, like, I'm sorry that you went through the cancer, you went through it, but you are walking in your peace and in your survival, your work, you're walking in your faith, stating, I'm taking a day at a time. And in faith, I do what I must do, but I have faith enough to know that I don't know everything. I don't know the end, but whatever I know now that's good for me, then I'm going to take that good in and I'm going to keep walking it through with the goodness, you know, of God.
Yeah.
There will be I'm not going to lie. There'll be the ups and there'll be the downs. There'll be the moment of doubt and the moment of fear, but there's always something you can look at. You have a child, you have a husband. There's something you can look at also on this earth that inspires you mm-hmm. to keep it moving, that inspires you to keep your head up and do all your best you can. And I think a lot of people, they get a diagnosis, and I don't mean this as a criticism. I just know this because without my faith in God, I would not have been able to have gone through what I have gone through in the last 3 years since the pandemic started.
Yeah.
It has been a roller coaster of one medical exam. So people look at me on Facebook or social media and they know nothing about me. Like, they really don't know nothing about you, Jessica, until they have a conversation or know you or spend time with you. Mm-hmm. So I would also let people know out there that we love what we did before. I loved recording. I love singing. And you know that more than ever, like yourself, I was brought around music. That is all I ever knew. And it was a part of me. And I thought that without the music, I didn't have an identity. And I struggled greatly. And I think I struggled all the way till maybe, I don't know, 5 years ago. That's how little bit, you know, that's been a long time that I was struggling. Because I wanted to be what people thought I should be. And I learned that I'm to be what God wants me to be.
Yes.
So yep. if I'm home because of some people say, okay, the pandemic is over. Well, it's not over, but you choose to do what you want to do. I still mask, and I mask because I have certain conditions that I don't want to put myself in a bad place. And that's just me.
Yeah.
So I work from home and I spend my time doing my videos to hope to encourage other people.
Yes.
But I want to tell you something, Jessica, some people don't want to allow us to go forward. Some people want to keep us stuck in that place. I am no longer a freestyle singer. I am known as that. I can put the title next to my name. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, what I am is a child of God, a person who hopes to inspire other people and to keep it moving.
Yeah, exactly. That's the New Yorker right there. Like, just keep it moving.
Yes. So when I read this about the power of your story, and you were encouraging others, is this going to be a book, or what do you plan to do with this title, The Power of Your Story? Uh-oh. I call it a title.
Frozen. I'm sorry. Tell me one more time because it froze.
When I saw you write and quote unquote, the power of your story, I know you were encouraging other people, but is this going to be something that you're going to do in a different way, in a broader way, to have other people tell their stories?
Yes. Yes. So it started with muscular dystrophy. That's where I saw the power of your story, because I think, and this is what I've encountered, because I work in that community still to this day, and I'm an advocacy captain for the state of New York. So that means that I help encourage and teach people how to tell their story in congressional settings. Because we need funding from the federal government to continue this research. But that can be applied to multiple different causes as well. But I saw the need for that human connection to take place, especially with someone in, you know, in the legislature. Like, you need to be able to have a human connection with them. And that's where the power is at. So I found that there were people that I would encounter, not just in the advocacy settings, but in other ways, that really felt like they had a story, but they didn't know how to express it. Or they thought, oh, you know, it's that my story is not as good as someone else's. You know, it's not worthy of a Hollywood blockbuster. It's just a normal story. But the thing that I think it's missed is those normal stories are the ones that make, those have the power, because those make the real connections. I mean, it's great to hear a story of overcoming and motivation. And those things I think are really needed and necessary. But having a mom just talk about the day her son was diagnosed with another mom who thought, wow, I never knew that someone else would speak about this exact thing. That's where those connections happen. So the platform itself is really just about helping people recognize that they have a story to share, not just in muscular dystrophy, but in anything that they've gone through, that they want to express. It's recognizing that, embracing that, as I said earlier, and then sharing that story, putting it out there. Because what happens when we share is awareness. Now, even if it's a one-on-one conversation, awareness has suddenly been created around that subject. And maybe you're the initiator. Maybe no one knew about it, or, you know, not many people know about it until you say it. And then there's the advocacy piece, because then sometimes people want to take this further and share their perspective. But the ultimate goal of my platform is the connection, is humans connecting organically and powerfully together. And I think that's world changing. That can change a lot in this world, because there's a lot of disconnection. There's a lot of people that isolate themselves for, you know, because they're afraid, or just because that's just how it's been. in their life. But when you make that decision to open just a little bit, and it doesn't have to be like this really deep, scary story that you felt like you could never share. I mean, maybe that is a goal, but it doesn't have to be that. It can be simple things too, you know, our daily life struggles. So it really could be anything.
That happened, what you just said, is really powerful, because when the pandemic started, I started realizing and seeing little Instagrams and videos of celebrities that were now coming out, allowing others to hear about their struggles with anxiety or other types of mental illnesses. And it was very refreshing to me, because I follow a lot of the entertainment business a lot. You know, it was very refreshing to see that side of them, not because they were going through something, but because it allowed me to see the humanity, the need, you know? And I also believe that cultures, all different cultures, have different stigmas on not allowing us to speak about what we're feeling, because we're supposed to just suppress it. Our culture may say, no, you don't tell people that. You don't share with people that. That's not really their business. Mm-hmm. But, you know, God created us to support one another. Mm-hmm. To help each other, to be a helping hand to each other, to lift each other up when we need it. And that's why I, when I heard the power of your story, is exactly the way I feel, because Speak It Out, Sing It Loud was a segment that came one day in 2019. And I said, Lord, but I already have Adelante with Arlene. And that's okay. That's the title, Adelante with Arlene, go forward with her. And then it just came out. I said, speak it out. And so you're going to hear the music, sing it loud. And it just came out. And to me, that meant to bring friends on to speak of their journey. Mm-hmm. And to be careful that the ones that I brought on were going to be transparent enough to bless another person. And that's what you're doing here, blessing someone else to not be afraid. And the other thing I want to say is that there are communities to help each other out, depending on what disease you might have. And that's really important to look into, so that people don't feel like they're by themselves. Right. Because I felt like I was by myself. I went through a very dark place when I got the told that I had that small benign tumor in my brain. Mm-hmm. And I was so in a dark place. My husband was working a double job. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't find a job here in Florida, and I was so isolated. Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you that went on for, oh my God, like 5 years. It was just getting, no matter how, me going to church, being a worship leader, I just could not lift this darkness that I was feeling. And I felt like I was the only person on earth, like really, it was that bad. Mm-hmm. And I realized something else, that the apartment only had, because now I rent the house, had two windows in the front, but hit no sun, no sunlight, hit that all day long. Mm-hmm. And I want to tell you that the sunlight does change things. It just, something happened. When we moved to this house and it was the pandemic, it had just started, I have two bright windows in the living room in a small house. I can't even explain the difference in those two windows and that light, and being able to open the door and sit outside if I wanted to, made in me. And I literally did not struggle with the darkness at the beginning of the pandemic, but yet I was free before the pandemic and felt like I was a prisoner, because I felt like there was nobody there for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I felt led, like you had felt led and pulled to, in 2019, to turn on my phone and get on live. I was like, no way. And I felt it from the Holy Spirit. And all you guys, go check out those videos on YouTube. You will see me with the pain on my face and my eyes. You can see the pain. But I had to speak whatever it was that the Lord put me to speak in that camera. Mm-hmm. And I had to have the courage, through the blurriness of the camera, through the sound not being the best like Arlene wanted it to be, to just do this, in order to understand that we are not sick people physically. We cannot say we're not helpless. You and I, mm-hmm. we're not to be ashamed. Mm-hmm. We're not alone.
Yeah.
And we need to learn to be transparent and not care what anybody else has to say, as long as we know it's going to help another person.
Yeah.
It's not about hurting someone. It's about helping someone.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Have you thought about, Jessica, maybe you have, getting some interviews together for other people, as you're saying, to share their story and putting them together on some type of a platform like a YouTube, whatever new things they got now these days, Instagram, blah, blah, blah. Have you thought about that?
I actually have thought about that. And I actually did interview someone early on a couple months ago. And I've been working right now. I've been trying to get that together with different interviews and things like that. So it's interesting that you mentioned that and bring that up, because that's, yeah, that would be a great idea.
And I'm here if you need me to be interviewed on any one of those segments in regards to the health and all that, because I already told you a bunch of them, because I want to help and encourage and promote awareness for these diseases that many women do seriously are walking they out there and they don't know about it. You know, we got to understand that, you know, technology has advanced, but when it comes to mammograms, they're starting to realize that a mammogram is extremely important for certain diagnosis, but it has left out a numerous amount of others. Recently, I heard on TV, don't remember the name, a famous newscaster. She has a disease, and it had nothing to do, the breast disease, with what was in the mammograms. This was undetected until she did an MRI, and now she has to have her chemo and she has cancer and all the above. Again, this could be avoided. You know, also there are machines and technologies, unfortunately, that are made available to those that have money to get into those machines. You know, that's another issue I have. It's a big one. And it has to do with insurance, medical insurance. I've had that for a long time. If I had your platform and me, the person that I am, I'm saying, not you, you're doing what you're supposed to do, I would have just been out there about insurance, medical insurance. Because I have big issues, big issues with that, big issues. I encourage you again today, Jessica, something you already knew, put that out there in video form with others, let them share their story as you host it. You know, you got a great platform and it gives opportunity for the world to know. And as you're a very intelligent woman, you can, you know, point them into the right direction, whether it's for mental illness, you know, well-being of any type or whatever. There's always sites that are credible that we can point people towards that direction, as I'm going to ask you to give me a good site so I can put on the description in regards to more information about the disease, as well as I will put about the diseases that I mentioned, because I want people to be encouraged. Now, what is the next thing you are stepping into before we say our goodbyes for a moment? What are you doing right now, other than the things you have mentioned? What's your next thing you think to do?
My next thing is to play with my daughter, probably. She's downstairs, and I don't know if I could hear her, so hopefully she wasn't too loud.
Yes, you have a beautiful daughter.
Yeah, so just family time and spending time with family, and you know, that's pretty much what I do. I'm a mom, you know. So
yes, I see the pictures. They're beautiful. Now, my question I'm going to ask in closing is this, something you've heard before. If there was something you would tell your younger self today that you are wiser, what would you tell her? What would you tell little Jessica?
I would tell her that the things that you feel are real. The things that are in your heart that have been put there, no matter if someone's telling you no, I love my mom, you know, but I knew that there was a calling on my life, hard to express as a child. But I think, especially with children, sometimes they'll want to do something or have an inclination and it gets pushed down, you know, for one reason or the next. It might be with good intention, but I really have always strongly felt that the things that you feel are real, because when I followed those things, freestyle music, I had my own degree of success with it. I touched people. It wasn't, you know, millions, but it was the right people that needed to hear the songs that I was going to sing. And sometimes that's what success is too, to me. So, you know, there's freestyle, martial arts, following that, the leading. I mean, I know that that was the Holy Spirit, but even if you're not a Christian, you know, I think it doesn't mean that you're not feeling things, because he's always calling, you know? And I think really the things that are in your heart are the guides to your purpose. So what you feel is real, Jessica.
Amen. That's a good one. So thank you once again, Jessica, for being on the show. And we're going to have to keep in touch through social media. I'll keep looking at what you're doing and, you know, encourage one another. So thank you so much for blessing us. And as I say at the end of every show and every podcast, sigue adelante. Until next time.
Thank you for tuning in to Speak It Out, Sing It Loud on Adelante with Arlene.